up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? Hey, yeah. We're off from tour. Oh, we want to give you more, which rhymes with my name. Angel, look at more. Oh, that chick, Angel. Angel Tangsley. Oh. This man hates me when I sing my song. But we get along. Tell him who you are.
I'm the other host of This Is Gonna Cause an Argument, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. Hey, fam, if it's your first time tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. It's a podcast we do every single week. And we've been doing it for 10 years. And we just ended our tour. Absolutely.
Our second tour.
And we record this episode live with our Patreon.
Every episode
live with our Patreon. They all up in the comments. We talk to them before and after we press record and hit that stop button, and they get on all the back, what is it, behind the scenes,
BTS.
Back room stuff, BTS. You can be a part of that Patreon. All you gotta do is go to patreon.com/thatchickangel, sign up for the low of $5 a month and get in on all the goodness. We are joined by a sponsor or two.
Yeah, we got two sponsors in the building. I'm going to tell you more about them later on in the podcast. We so appreciate our sponsors. They help. They allow us to make this podcast happen so that it doesn't feel like we're just doing community service because this is a job for the both of us. So we have Cash App and Hiya Health that we'll tell you all more about later on in the podcast. Two sponsors we've worked with before, and we're excited to work with them again. And we hope that if they offer a service that you are interested in, you will give them a little check. Check them out. Let them know we sent you. Yeah. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
And we usually do this on a Monday. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? You're just off a tour. You got home yesterday. I don't think our bodies know what time zone we're on. Tell me how you feel.
My body's definitely confused. I am definitely tired. My body doesn't know how tired I am yet. Last night, I got sleepy like halfway during the day because we got home. It was early afternoon.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we was like, oh, let's sit down and relax. Like, I immediately started doing stuff around the house. I had cleaned up the house pretty good before we left. And the kids realized, oh, they ain't going to be here. So they ended up just destroying the house over time.
They were only there for a day.
Yeah, a day. And in that time, it was awful up in that house. So working through the irritation and frustration of that, cleaning and doing stuff, doing all my shit that I do to the house, front yard, backyard, checking on everything. I did end up leaving to return some stuff. I never sat down and relaxed. Then toward the end of the night, late afternoon, I ended up getting sleepy, but I didn't like actually go to sleep. And then I sat there in a trance between sleep and awake, trying to get up to go to bed. So I went to bed late. And of course,
don't you hate that?
Yeah, it pisses. That's extremely frustrating to want to be able to wake up, like not sleep enough to realize you ain't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or you, and then wanting to get up and can't. So once I finally was broke myself out of trance, like, all right, let's go to bed. I ain't fully rested yet, but it's all good. How you feeling?
Let me tell you something. I am excited to get on the other side of this weekend. I feel like there were major hurdles that I had to jump over. I won't call them obstacles. They were hurdles. They were just a thing to get over. The tour was one of them. Teen conference was another. And then this last one is this chapter retreat for Delta, along with me hosting a step show for the BET experience. So I think my mindset is, Angel, get on the other side of that. Then we'll be headed towards your birthday. And blue skies are here after that. I will say, during the tour, during this last leg of the tour, because I just finished teen retreat at night, I would be counting how many kids I needed to make sure we had in the morning. And then I would remember, we are not traveling with children. We only have one other adult with us. It had me anxious at night, every single night. I would sit there and be counting, okay, and trying to picture their faces. And then when their faces wouldn't pop up, I'd be like, wait, who's supposed to be with us? So I'm definitely feeling, obviously, the fatigue of everything, but also feeling hella accomplished that everything that I said yes to is all falling into place. But yeah, definitely feel the fatigue. So let's start the show off with In My Feelings. You cool with that?
Yeah.
What's watch your energy just all of a sudden.
I'm thinking about what's gotten me in my feelings.
No, before. I'm asking before.
I'm just listening to you.
You sure? Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. It don't seem like it.
All right. I don't know what to do about that.
Are you tired in this moment? Are you sleepy?
Nah.
Yeah, I feel like something up. All right. Y'all know what In My Feelings is. It's our oldest segment.
I'm like, get to the damn segment.
Okay, you explain it.
All right. It's a segment we talk about. What's got us feeling some type of way and what's got us feeling good. So what's got you feeling some type of way?
I don't know if I want to start off with feeling some type of way.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead.
No. Yes, you try to force me to start. So anyways, I think what's got me feeling some type of way is that I'm disappointed in me and Marcus that we did not publicize our tour as well as we could have. We came out of the blocks okay, and then we fizzled. And to me, that is like a waste of time and energy not to put it there. Because y'all know, to go... Right now, flying is expensive. To go into these cities to do a good show. Now, the thing is, regardless of who was in the audience, the show always turned out great. I just felt like I feel some type of way that we did not take as much advantage, especially because as soon as we acknowledged that we were going to be on an uphill journey, being that our shows were Mondays and Tuesdays, definitely should have been coming out swinging harder. And it's not like I'm typically, in a lot of cases, the underdog. So I know what type of tenacity it takes to like push through to get to the other side. So that's got me feeling some type of way that there wasn't more effort on both of our parts on promoting the show. Because I do feel like we left thousands of dollars on the table that we didn't necessarily need to leave on the table. So that's what got me feeling some type of way.
Yeah, I'm actually right there with you. It was multiple times leading up to the tour and during the tour, because once we started the first leg, it was just like, of course, it's a little harder to promote the way you need to, but I'm like,
What do you mean? You said it's a little harder to promote like you need to. What did you mean?
During the first leg, once we started the tour, you know, we hit it on Monday. We had a show on Wednesday and a show on Friday. It's a little more difficult because you're traveling and doing the tour versus, all right, let's sit down and do this, you know, do something to draw attention. So versus not being on tour and having time to do it. In relation to, so it's a little harder, but we missed a lot of opportunity, you know, like she said, before actually going on tour and promoting it. And then the second leg of the tour, we had definitely still had those, 2 weeks to promote and still didn't do it the way we should have. And that was definitely bothering me the entire time while on the tour as well as that. So, that left me feeling like, ugh, what the hell? One big reason One reason was we've had help in the past, but not that we need the help, but it's that person that definitely holds you accountable, a third person to hold you accountable, because, you know, if you hire somebody to like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Now they're like, well, I'm going to get paid to do my job, and I'm going to do my job efficiently. So this is what's going on. That extra person to push. But yeah, that definitely felt left a stain in the memory of this tour going around.
I will say, while we were on tour, it would have just, thinking back to like noticing with like Kevin would do on his tours, it would literally be, we would land in the airport, he would get in front of a sign that had the city.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in this city tonight.
Yeah,
y'all.
We were doing that last time.
So the fact that we didn't even do that is like, you know, I was just disappointed, pretty much. Okay, what's got you feeling some type of way?
I just talked about it.
I thought you were just elaborating on mine.
No, I feel the same.
Okay, well, what's got you feeling good? So listen, in today's day and age, we send money to loved ones all the time. But let me give you some red flags that I think you should look out for before sending money to someone. If somebody's asking you for money that has never really talked to you about ever asking for money, meaning it's a niece or a nephew that rarely ever talks to you, but if all of a sudden they're like, hey, auntie, can I have $100 for this? Now, I ain't seen you in 3 years. We haven't talked in one. Seems kind of odd that you would be asking me for $100 out of the blue. If it's somebody you don't know, regardless of their sob story, baby, if they're not connected to an organization that has been tested and can be verified and trusted, do not send the money. These are just some red flags that I think of. You all can tell me some red flags that you think of. Listen, this is why I'm so glad that Cash App is a part of being one of our sponsors for today. When you get the Cash App card, you not only get access to tons of perks and benefits, okay, like exclusive early access to nationwide concerts, and I know that's like one of my favorite things, is to be like, eh, I don't have to be in Gen Pop. I've got early access or discounts on popular brands, but you also have extra security, okay? You have the power to instantly lock and unlock your card. So if you think something's getting sketchy, scammy, you lock it. Lock it up, all right? And you can do that right from your phone in just one tap. If a suspicious transaction pops up on your card, which y'all know this stuff be happening all the time because scammers are out here. Young Miami had to make a song about it. Cash App has your back by automatically declining the purchase and sending you a heads up to confirm whether or not it's you, because that's what you need. And behind the scenes, you're sure knowing that your account balance is protected by 24/7 fraud monitoring. So you can have the calmness, the peace of mind, the understanding, the knowing today if you go ahead and order a Cash App card in the app or at cashstop.app/card. New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code SECURE10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa debit flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Bank N.A. Pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc. See terms and conditions for the Sutton prepaid card, Sutton debit flex card, and Bancorp debit flex card. Discounts and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cashstop.app/legal/podcast. Podcast for full disclosures. Thank you, Cash App, for sponsoring today's podcast.
What's got me feeling good? It's kind of on that same tip. I told Angel I was reading this article. This was probably a few months ago. And it was talking about how to change your thought process and change the way you look at things. And here lately, it's like been a bunch of stuff that's been like it would come up and just trying to figure out, all right, how you work your way through this. And it was saying, just change the way you think about things. And the first thing you think, anytime something negative comes up or a roadblock or something comes up, follow that up with the very first response that you were having, you respond with in your mind is with, well, at least I can do this. Or, well, now, well, being that this is in place, now I can do that. And just basically just instantly flipping it into positive. Even if you don't fully agree with it in the moment, think of things that way, and then naturally your mind will always go that way. And, you know, because some people, they come up on things and it's like, soon as something happens, it's doom and gloom, instead of just coming up with instead of coming up with solutions. It's just like, well, dang, now I can't do that. I can't do this, or this won't happen, or that won't happen, versus, well, at least now I can, you know, get this done, or man, now that I have to do this, I can do that. And it's actually worked pretty much since I've definitely noticed a difference. However, with this tour, that was the only time where I'm like, all right, I'm having a real hard time flipping this around. And then I was just like, well, this is a lesson learned for me to move forward. If this happens again, it's like, don't let this happen again, basically.
Mm. That's what I would wonder, how how this, this sounds like a great technique, period. Excuse me. I wonder how you combat this for people who make excuses, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are people who don't really be holding up their end of the bargain, but that's how they are able to be like, well, at least da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, come up with an excuse versus...
Or, yeah, come up with a... There's no reason for you, anybody to be looking at me like I didn't do my responsibility, because at least we can do this, where it's just like, but what you said you were going to do was this, this, and this. So that at least... You know, do you get what I'm saying?
I think so.
Like, I think, like, this is really helpful for people who get stuck in a loop mm-hmm. of negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Because this can this helps you get out of, this helps you from going into that loop. So in that instance, I'm like, this is actually really great, because there are certain people who they have a really hard time seeing the positive in anything. Their mind goes to the negative. But I also think about people who,
oh, they just naturally come up with the excuses. And
yeah, naturally.
So instead that they flip that in from a positive to an excuse.
Right. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that have a hard time being accountable to what they say they're going to do. Yeah. So instead of being like, I should have done this, they're like, well, at least this. But it's like, no. Yeah. You said that you were going to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and I'm probably using the wording wrong. I don't think it was like, well, at least this, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
How that technique could be used against themselves.
Or against the people who are depending on them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's not a, it, or yes, it could be used against themselves. Like,
yeah, you using it against themselves because it's hurting themselves.
And in some instances, it's hurting themselves. In other instances, it's hurting other people.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you have your own personal goal, yes, if you keep doing that, you might not ever reach your goal if you're not eventually like, okay, let's.
Yeah, if you're not using it as a building block of, all right, now that I done experienced that, I done went through that, now I can think back on this moving forward.
Right.
And do this. I'm stronger for my lack of not doing it this time versus.
Yeah, because I do know enough people who the negative is the first thing that comes to their mind, where I'm just like, oh no, this will be great for them because this will hopefully keep them from falling over into that. But I also know people who they will say they're going to do something and they won't do it. And instead of just holding themselves accountable and being like, I should have gotten this done, they will jump to that. Well, I mean, at least we've got this and that. Oh, it's just like, no,
yeah.
No, that's not, this is at least.
Yeah, well, I ain't write the article, so I don't know what the right. I'm not the psychologist or whatever.
No, this is just my thought listening to it.
No, yeah, no, it's true. I yeah, my mind didn't even go there. Just the way when I read it, the way it was worded, it was just like coaching, teaching yourself how to instantly flip a negative into a positive.
Yeah, well, you are. I can see
but
why
I don't see an excuse as a positive mm-hmm. where some people would.
Yeah, they. Yeah. Look, some people that's where they go to first.
Yeah.
So, goodness, we haven't talked. What's got me feeling good outside of us completing another tour? And while we didn't hit the numbers, nowhere near the numbers that we would have liked to, and they were definitely sizable difference from our first tour to this tour. Mm-hmm. This is not what's got me feeling good, but I just want to acknowledge it. I am so happy that what I saw in my head as when me and you were having the arguments about whether or not we were going to do the tour again, what I saw in my head being a better way for us to do the show really turned out great, in my opinion. This is a...
Sorry. Tracy.
Oh, my God. Such a funny time. Tracy on our last show. And we could talk more about this in the like when we get into our main conversation. But, you know, I have been pushing us to do more audience interaction for the tour. One, I felt like it was going to play more to especially your strengths, but play to our strengths as a couple of having people to interact with outside of me and Marcus just interacting on stage. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was an amazing new experience every city. There wasn't one city where it was like, dang, that wasn't. Ugh. Yeah. So, but that's not even what's got me feeling good. We're going to rewind because we haven't talked in a while. What's got me feeling good is everything that happened at the teen conference for my son with Jack and Jill. Mm-hmm. That experience, outside of me having my toenail ripped from my toe.
I was gonna say, they don't know about that either.
I know it. We'll tell Patreon about it. I saw my son, now this is my fault, be pushed to the limit that whole week. He had a job that he was having to get up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. He was going to work. He was getting back home at around 5:30, then eating a snack, going to SAT tutoring, then coming back, washing his body and having to go to bed. Then for that work
that
week,
was Monday through Wednesday, he was doing that.
Then on Thursday, I was like, me and you, we getting up at 3:45 a.m. We're headed to the airport because we've got to head out for this conference. And I'm traveling with a total of 18 teens and 3 additional chaperones. And at teen conference, this is not where you're going to get no sleep. The kids get to party until close to 1 a.m. Then the lead chaperone has a meeting starting at around 1 a.m. that goes until about 2:30. And then you're waking them kids back up at around 6 o'clock. And for me, in one case, I had to wake them up at 5:30. My son was the alternate for our chapter, which means he has to sit up at the front because he was the chapter's vice president. You have to sit up at the front with the delegate of the chapter, the teen president. You have to be there on time, dressed appropriately. He also was the winner of the oratorical competition back in October, so he had to perform again this time. He also was running for an office for a regional position. He was running for secretary, so that means he had to have campaign flyers. He had to have a campaign team. He had to have a display set up. He had to prepare a speech for that. He had to be ready for a fishbowl question. Mm-hmm. And they did not tell him what those questions would be ahead of time. My son was successful at every single thing he did, and he was exhausted. Dead tired. He's not like either one of us where we can function all right off of barely any sleep and just fake it, that baby.
Yeah, Marcus gets sleepy. His body gonna shut down regardless of where he's at or what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they don't allow you to sleep during these things or you get written up. So he couldn't just be like, I'm out. And Marcus does fall asleep anywhere. He's fallen asleep in some very embarrassing places. he did fall asleep, actually. He did. He got a warning. Marcus's oratorical speech, which I will put in the Patreon. I'll eventually put it on Instagram as well. I'll put it in the Patreon today. Marcus's oratorical speech, baby, that audience could not get enough. Several other chapters stood up and gave him a round of applause, like a standing ovation. Thank you. Gave him a standing ovation. The adults were, I mean, kicking, stomping their feet. And the competition is not that type of competition.
You know what's funny is we were coaching him for the speech. And we were like, you know, when you open it up, it was like, when we say like black pastor, you don't really have a mind that goes to like a black preacher, like the stereotypical black preacher. Mm-hmm. So I just YouTube black pastor and showed him a video. And I was just like, this is crazy because this is exactly who is saying you need to open it. And when I tell you, you know how people, they get up there, and if you don't do this, and everybody, whoa, that's the exact reaction that audience was having when that speech.
When I tell you, they love. It was so funny. I sent the video to my mama, and she said, I knew I had a preaching grandbaby. Look,
Angel's family going to put the preaching bug on you.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, now you and Angel, y'all be some good pastors. Y'all don't know us, but you definitely don't know your family, your own family member, let alone me. If y'all think we gonna be called to the cloth.
Okay. Because what's crazy, he's never seen my mother preach, which is insane.
At least, I didn't even think about it. Well, when he was old enough to remember, I didn't even think about that. I was like, wow.
I said, if he had heard his grandmother preach, then he would know exactly what I meant. Yeah. He heard her at Sade's funeral, but that was also his first funeral. So I think the last thing he's gonna remember is what his grandmother sounded like. So anyways, the speeches aren't even like that. The speeches are very much so like, think more of a Barack Obama or Michelle speech, where, yes, there are poignant words being said, but it's not typically like, you get kind of roused up, but it's not like,
it's usually extremely like, not the Marxist wasn't, very intellectual.
Yeah.
It's like the girl, the young lady that he talks about in the speech, the one that did Obama's, what's her name? That little girl, so
she's a poet laureate. Her name is Amanda Gorman.
Amanda Gorman, yeah. Like when her speech, that's usually how these speeches are. It's like you got these students, it's like, oh, you got a 6.0 grade point average.
Right. It's usually way more than.
You're also a leader, and you are speaking to the people on how to lead, where Marxists came from a completely different angle.
Yes.
That they're not used to seeing.
It's definitely, he definitely leaned into comedy. And they were not expecting that.
Right.
And this is how I know he was so happy with his performance. He wore suit and tie and dress shoes for his speech, while all of his chapter was in their casual clothes, because right after this, we were going to go to a party. So I go out into the lobby to give him his casual clothes to change into. This boy, I go, Marcus, he's on the other side of the room. He turns and sees me. The smile on his face is so big. He runs towards me with his arms open to give me the biggest hug. I said, are you happy with how it went? He was like, yeah.
Yeah, because we told him, places in your speech where you are going to need to pause and wait because people are going to be loud. He did it. He paused a couple of times with us. A few other times, I'm like, you should have just let it marinate.
He was, their reaction was so big, he started laughing at their reaction. He did break one rule that I forgot that, and I thought he was going to, I wasn't sure if he broke it, he would be disqualified or lose some points. He lost some points. And the guy who won was so phenomenal. I mean, amazing. So, if he was going to have to lose to somebody, this was a great guy to. And this young man is an amazing speaker. But I know Marcus was just so happy that it went so well. And he got so many of the teens was like, yo, your speech was so good.
Yeah.
He did, and I'm going to tell you all this for those who are not in our Patreon. He does this Donald Trump impersonation in the middle of his speech. Baby, they started clapping. They bust out laughing.
He just said, but luckily, as soon as he did that, you couldn't hear anything else he said because they were.
It was the girl in front of me was like, hey, yo. I was like, yes. So that, and then by the time we got to his campaign for secretary, my baby was done. It was very much so. His speech might as well been like, either y'all gonna vote for me or not. I don't really care.
Yeah, it's like by that time, it was like a vehicle, whether gas or electric. When it run out of gas, it just stops. Ain't no like slow down warning. Just you done.
Yeah.
He got to that point. His gas tank was, the sales was empty.
So everybody has these riveting speeches. His is very much so, this is what I've done. This is what I've done in Jack and Jill. This is what I've done outside of Jack and Jill. This is what I plan on doing if you elect me as secretary.
Thank y'all for coming out. God bless. Good night.
Pretty. I mean, that was the attitude. It was very much so just, I am done. Like, even when we were running the speech beforehand, I could see his frustration. I was like, baby, breathe. He was like, I said, I need you to calm down. He's like, I am trying. And I felt so bad. And I was just like, okay, all right, it's cool. So he goes up there. He was the first running unopposed. Then a young lady decided to run against him from the floor. She was running from one of the larger chapters. And I was like, they're probably well connected. But also, I don't have my son do these things because I'm like, you have to win. I also want him to get okay with losing. And not losing as in like, oh, well, but being like, sometimes you're not going to win everything and I don't need you to crash out if you don't. Right.
And also just the experience of doing it and building the confidence to be able to do it.
Right. Especially because he wants to be an actor. You're going to get told no a lot.
Yeah, you'll get told no more, a lot more than yes. So, even successful actors.
Correct.
The most successful actors, they still get, it's still like a 1-50 ratio.
Yeah. So at the conference, there's 39 votes that are able to be cast because there are 29 chapters. And when they got to regional secretary, they said that's what he ran for. They were like, for regional secretary, Marcus Tanksley got 15 votes. And then whoever the opponent was got 14. The way my mouth dropped to my lap and the way his chapter, I had to be like, because they said do not applaud. Between his chapter was like, go Marcus, go. I was like, shh, hush. And I was like, oh my God, this boy didn't want a regional seat in this organization. So I am elated. I saw how much joy it gave him while he wasn't like, I've got to be secretary. I could see the joy after he won. Like, and then I think what he realized, I don't think he realized what he won. He did. He is nervous about the work, but I think he is really excited about the experience. I think he's realizing, oh, I'm about to experience something that is going to make me a stronger person, a stronger leader, and not just leading other people, how I lead my own life, making sure I'm making decisions where I hold my word.
Yeah.
Because he does sometimes fail at that part of like, you said you want to do it, why didn't you do it? We are so excited to tell you about our next sponsor, Hiya. Okay, we have been a Hiya family for a while now when we were first introduced to them on this podcast, because let me tell you, these vitamins are for kids, and I tasted them myself. They taste amazing. Okay, so this is what we need to realize as parents. Our children are the first generation growing up on ultra processed foods. Like, I think about how much like things that I ate that weren't processed. My mother was fixing actual green beans that came from the ground. Okay. She was fixing whole chickens. These kids, we can't even name what's in a lot of their food. Right. And so the long-term effects, we don't really know. We're only beginning to understand those, but that's why Hiya exists, because you now have a real solution as a parent in a marketplace that is flooded with kids' vitamins. Right. You now have a real solution for actual having your kids not being able to have the type of nutrition we have. And instead of trying to prioritize it being more like candy, right? Some children's vitamins on the market contain up to 7 grams of sugar. Who wants to give that to their child every morning? That's crazy. And it's stuffed with like artificial additives, petroleum-based dyes. Yuck. Where Hiya is the opposite, okay? Zero sugar, zero gummy additives, and clean nutrition. My kids love them. The twins absolutely love them. They have their own little bottle that they've personalized, and they're able to take them on their own in the morning. And they're designed thoughtfully. Okay. So they're thinking about what modern kids are eating and not eating. Okay. And they're formulated around those specific nutritional gaps that children today are experiencing. And Hiya is working alongside pediatricians and scientists. Okay, so they created a powerful chewable vitamin packed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables plus 15 essential vitamins and minerals each into every chewable little vitamin. We're talking vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, all foundationally nutrients that help with and support immune health, brain function, mood regulation, concentration, and development of strong teeth and bones. They're also GMO free, so non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gluten-free, nut-free. They thought of everything. They're also NSF certified and received Clean Label Project's highest purity award certification. And they're designed for kids 2 and up, and they ship straight to your door. You get your cute little bottle with stickers with your first order, and then they send you refills every month. So you ain't got to think about it. We absolutely love them. Our kids love them. They're able, again, to take them on their own. So it's a way that they're also able to take control of their own journey as far as in their nutrition. And we can feel good as parents supporting them. Also, Hiya just launched something new, brand new. If your kids are active and growing, adding a clean protein powder with added minerals designed just for kids might be exactly what they need. Hiya's new Kids Daily Grow Plus Protein is a total game changer. It's more than a protein shake. It's a purity awarded clean protein powder with added minerals and healthy fats that mixes right into water, smoothies, and more to support muscle development and cognition to fuel everything they've got going on. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya. Receive 50% off your first order and on any of their products. To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/argue. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/argue and get your kids the full support they deserve. Thank you, Hiya, for supporting today's podcast.
Thank you, Hiya.
Yeah, that's because I was telling him, because by Wednesday, I think. Yeah, this is about Wednesday. I was talking about him. Shit, I don't know who I was talking to him about. I don't know if it was with y'all Patreon. I don't know what it was, but I was like, I'm how proud I am of him, because I know he's got this little job that he had lined up that his friend hit him up about. So that was like manual labor. They're like helping move a whole bunch of furniture into this new hotel or what. I don't know what it was. So that's like manual labor and getting off of that and then having to go to ACT and then also getting ready for this conference or whatever. So I was like, by that third day, I was just like, I've been meaning to tell you how proud I am of you. I was like, I know that this is not something that you are used to, that your body's not used to, especially these teenagers these days, for the most part, they don't know nothing about manual labor, just doing like literally physical hard work. I was like, I'm really proud. I said, as stressful or as tiring as this is right now, this is building your stamina and character.
Yeah.
I said, these are things when you start this stuff early, later on in life, it's nothing for you to come up on a really difficult week or a really difficult time, because it's like, oh, I've been here before. And you won't even realize it until you're going through it. It's like, oh, yeah, you see other people around you struggling. And it's just like, oh, this is easy. I've done this before. And I didn't even bring this up. It goes also into play where, so Armand's daughter, you know, she goes to Berkeley, and he was talking about how she watches people that she goes to school with struggle with their assignments and stuff. And she was like, well, we've been doing this since I was a freshman.
Right.
These little papers we got to write. I was doing this as a freshman in high school. Y'all struggling. He was like, she looks around like, this is easy because she's been conditioned. And I was like, right now you're conditioning. I said, this is actually a good thing. I know if you could just bear with it, this will eventually get easier for you. But of course, by the end of that week, he was like, I don't want to do this kind of work.
Right. It was like, wearing him out.
Of course you don't want to do this kind of work because you ain't never done it before. But stick to it. You're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, the amount of money you're getting paid, I would do something illegal to come out with this kind of money. At the end of the week.
Yeah, he was working. And the last little tidbit of this that I'll say, and then we can move on to regular conversation, is so he had to have
the whole episode.
I know. We'll move back to the tour. The last little thing that I want to add to it that I'm hoping he saw, and he might not have, so it might still take him a little bit more time, what it's like to have a real village. Because he has friends.
Yeah.
I don't think he understands what it's like to feel a village of his peers.
Right.
Let me put it that way. He knows that we have created a village for him right. of adults. All yeah. these little play aunties he got
yeah.
and uncles.
Aunties and uncles. But like I was kind of explaining to him yesterday, like to feel that village of, like you said, your peers, people actually pushing you and rooting for you out loud versus what his name and his friends do, they clown each other as yeah. in a joking way instead of hyping each other up.
Yeah. So what I was going to say to finish it out is that his campaign committee, it was five people he chose, four boys, one girl, and then myself. Because of his crazy schedule, he could not even set up his own campaign table. He had to go to do something else. And I was like, go do that. I'm going to take over your campaign team. We'll set the table up. And this was the one part of teen conference where I literally thought I was going to cry. And I said, but I don't want these teens picking on me about Miss Angel is old sap, right? they took setting up his table so seriously. First of all, when we walked in, I was like, they were like, you could choose any table. First dude was like, I want him to be the first face they see when they walk in here. We're choosing that table. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. We start setting up. They were like, all right, I got these like LED lights. And they literally voted on where they wanted the LED lights. They were like, nah, it should be here. And somebody, they were like, okay, let's vote. And they voted. They looking at this. They said, one of them was like, oh yeah, if I saw this, I would vote for Marcus. Like, look at it. It looks so professional. It looks good. They took so much care into making sure his table was set up in a way so that when he walked in the next day to have to greet the delegates and like talk about his own like plan as secretary, and his plan was about inclusivity of creating minutes for the meetings that are detailed and oriented, and then creating minutes that are more concise for people who have reading disabilities or whose neurodivergent diagnosis makes it difficult for them to read large masses of text so that everybody can be informed regardless of how they input the information. So anyways, and then they handed out flyers. I was like, here's, take some flyers. Y'all make sure y'all hand them out. They handed out flyers. They pushed other people to like, could tell their delegate, vote for Marcus. I forced him also to go up to talk to people. I was like, tell them what you're doing. I made him do it over and over throughout the day.
Cause that's something he's not going to do. We're trying to break him of that.
Yeah.
Where he right now naturally wants to go would just fade into the corner.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was like, no, you can't do that here. If this is what you want to do, this is what you got to do.
This is what you got to do. And everybody was receptive. Nobody was just like, get out of my face. Everybody was just like, okay, dope. So I'm glad he got to experience, and maybe he doesn't know it fully, but he will know being on this e-board with the rest of the regional teen officers, what it feels like to have a village and people who are like, I'm going to hold you accountable, but I'm also going to cheer you on regardless of how this turns out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So yeah, that
people pushing that wagon that you're pulling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So, let's talk the tour. So tell me, what was your favorite memory of the tour?
Favorite memory. I would have to say so we did a segment on we bring people up on stage. What was it called with the whiteboards?
Who's more likely to?
Who's more likely to? It was a game that we played with people. And I would have to say that was probably my favorite part. Just hearing, you would always be like a married couple or friends that's been friends for a long time. And hearing them say, like, who would rob the bank or who would get scammed or whatever the question was. That was probably in every city. That was my favorite part. Like that, hearing these people, some of the answers that they would give out and then the other person's reaction. Yeah, I would have to say that.
Okay, so my favorite part was working with my godson, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
So my best friend, Nina, she had a baby in 2006. Oh, happy birthday. Today's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
It was my first guy baby. He turned 21 today. And he's a theater baby. So, like, and he currently works kind of like as a stage manager, one of his jobs at this black theater. And me and Marcus were trying to figure out who was going on tour with us. And
we had a few people that we were thinking from out here. That actually worked a whole lot better.
Because the thing is that we don't pay enough for you to quit your regular job.
Right.
But we needed somebody who had the flexibility. So I know we needed somebody on the younger side because they don't really usually have for real jobs. They have gigs. So anyways, he has not been on an airplane since he was probably Amar's age.
Yeah.
So being able to take him to these cities in America, obviously in the US, and also him getting to see our audience. Uh-huh. Like they know that him and his siblings know that their aunt is like a social media person and that I work on TV. But I don't think they've never really seen me in my element. And he would enjoy the show every night. He'd be like, I'd be cracking up. He literally, I was like, I'm going to miss you, Gary. This is the most time I've ever gotten to spend with him, ever. So I'm picking up how much he is like his mama.
That boy. I mean, God was so lazy. Like, we just going to make this the same person. And Angel said that that I was saying, like, boy, you are just like your mama. And his mama was like, I don't know how I should take that. I said, yeah, that's exactly how you should take it. Just like that. You don't know how you should take it.
So very much so. I mean,
it don't make no sense how much he's like his mama.
Very much so.
If y'all knew his mama, it's just like, there ain't no way anybody act like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her daughter don't even act.
Oh, no. Grace is not Nina. Gary is Nina. Literally, when we were dropping him off at the airport for the last time, I said, well, I'm going to miss you. I'm so glad we got to do this together. He was like, yeah, I'm going to cry about this once I land. So I am just that for me. Like, that's the type of shit that would make anybody feel wealthy. While I am not in money, would make any to be able to give opportunities. The generation, the children of our peers, the fact that they can come to us for opportunities.
Yeah.
That to me is just like.
Yeah. That's actually something I actually thought about that. I was like, who we going to take with us? I'm like, wow, the person, whoever we take with us outside of maybe Kennedy. I was like, this is probably be their first time doing something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I never looked at it as, oh, dang, it's going to be that fair. I was like, oh, that's cool. They're going to get to see this.
Yeah. And while it's not that big of a deal to us, it's a big deal to them. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going on
that
tour.
That makes it a big deal for me, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the thing that made you go on tour, they say?
The lack of, it was all our fault. The lack of promotion, the city's not, it not being as big as it could have been. That was always, it didn't put like a cloud over it or anything. It was just like, like we said, especially in the Philly show, it's like, if it was eight of y'all, this is what would be going on, first of all.
Yes.
So Philly show, that was our smallest audience, but probably one of the mightiest audiences. But the meet and greet was really small. So we were sitting there and we were just joking about, you know, how small the crowd was going to be. And at the meet and greet, We were sitting there talking. There was probably like six people in the room at the time in this entire
this spot that seats like 300.
300. It was like six people. It was like, I joked around. I was like, yeah, so we going to be out here. We going to be performing for y'all. So I was like, oh, this is it?
Tierra, my old mentee. I said, girl, no.
This would have been a Zoom if this all showed up.
I was like, baby. No,
but that was this. That was it was kind of in the back of my mind the whole time. That because some of the cities we didn't know the count when we went. We were just like, now hold on, how many people did we sell? Why ain't we in a smaller room?
We were supposed to be in a smaller room in Philly. I said, why are we in this big room?
They said something about moving us to a smaller room. Yes. We was like, oh, okay, cool. And I walked in. I'm like, this. I can't even count this fast, but this is too many seats.
Oh, I already know. It was definitely.
That room was long.
Definitely my least favorite part is because I handle all the logistics. So I handle flights, hotels, just all of the things. I also handle our, at the end of the night, basically cashing out with
That was me last time. You just kind of took it over.
No.
I was closing out.
With the people at the...
Yes. Okay, all right.
I was about to say.
I definitely did, but I'm not going to go back and forth with you.
Washington, D.C., I know for certain, because me and her had a conversation after she gave me the check of where we should go to next the next time we're in. Atlanta, I distinctly remember doing last year. So maybe we split?
Maybe we split some. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, the handling, yeah, but you know why I know I handle logistics? Because you would always be cleaning up the stage while I was be talking to the people. You would always handle getting all of that stuff
up. I was responsible for holding the money.
Yes.
I had all the money. That's what it was. Like, I'm like, no, there was something financially. I'm like, no. Just a little bit of an edge. Okay, I had all the money.
Okay, so I was like, I know I talked to all these people because I was their point person. So... I can do math fast. And I was like, well, this community service worked out well for us. I was like, all right. Glad we were able to come here and donate our time and our energy. Yeah. Especially because flights were way more expensive this year. Like when we toured last time, I could have bought flights way further ahead of time for this tour. One reason why I did not, though, is because especially when I saw how low the numbers were for Philly and Washington, D.C., I was like, hell, we might end up having to cancel these. Mm-hmm. So I did not want to buy tickets too far ahead of time and then be out that money and then also out of the money from the show. So I'm buying tickets within like the week that we're leaving. So obviously I'm not getting the best deals. Now, I would be like, see, that didn't happen last year. No, last year, there was a point in time I was sitting on the plane realizing, oop, I need to buy another. We can't get to the next city without. Mm-hmm. So I was buying tickets on the plane or realizing, oh, shoot, this airline ticket says the wrong date. I need to go change, da-da-da-da-da. And the ticket prices were still cheaper than what they were for us to travel this time. And last tour, I felt like we were able to travel Delta for most of the flights, so we weren't paying for luggage for anything. Yeah. We were only able to fly Delta like once because their prices are out of control right now. So it was just like a lot of things were not aligning the way I would have liked them to money-wise. But at the end of the day, the quality of the show on the stage is important to me, for sure, as the artist, as a CEO. The bottom line is also very important. So that's the only thing that was the thing that I felt like was my least favorite memory, is doing that math and being like,
We took the train from Philly to D.C.
Yeah, we did.
We tried to do rental car. First of all, nothing was available.
No hotels, no rental cars. And mind you, I am sitting in Philadelphia trying to figure out. No. It was the day before. It's the Monday before we leave. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out how we getting from Philly to DC. I'm searching. I didn't search rentalcars.com. I've searched several rental car places individually just to see maybe my status will pull up because like I have like, you know, Enterprise Platinum status or whatever, that it'll pull up a car if they're all like sold out. We have no cars at this location. And I'm like, is it because we're doing a one-way rental? Like, what is it? And I was like, oh, shit, how the hell are we getting to D.C.? And I was like, well, you know what? I know there's a train. There's got to be a train. Thank God, train was only $25 per person. But then I was like, while we're in Philly, we don't have a hotel room for D.C. I was like, now where are we staying? What are we doing? I had to find a place in Alexandria, Virginia, which was about 20 minutes outside of the main city.
The Pentagon Hotel.
Pentagon South Hotel. Or is it Pentagon? No, it's Hotel Pentagon South. That's what the name was on a banner that was covering over an old sign.
Because everything in that area is Pentagon something because the Pentagon's down the street.
Yeah, it was Pentagon South.
Pentagon. Well, as soon as we were riding somewhere, we actually did the news station.
Oh, shout out to Justin. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. I got to post that.
And we riding, and I saw Pentagon South parking. I was like, oh, they just got some things just because we in D.C. Everything has a theme or whatever, a government theme. Then we sitting there riding, and I said, that massive structure is the Pentagon that we're looking at right now. I knew that thing was big. I didn't know it was that damn big.
Yeah, it was massive.
Freaking enormous.
It was massive.
But it was, where was I going with that? You were talking about what? Oh, yeah. The hotel that got transformed from a Sheraton to something else. The elevators weren't working.
We had to use the service elevator. Service
elevator that was through the kitchen, through the back.
Listen, I was just like, we got a place to lay our heads. Ain't no rats running over our faces. I'm not paying no $800 for us to stay at no hotel. Nah. I was like, is this a deal? So we definitely, it definitely was a, it would have been great to have a sponsor that covered all the travel.
Yeah.
Would have been great.
Tamara said, my husband who went in blind, not seeing anything, any of y'all's content afterwards said, this show was so much fun.
I would do it again. Yeah. They're so funny.
Thank you for letting us know that. Usually 9 times out of 10, if somebody don't know what it is, it's usually a husband or a boyfriend that got dragged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's who I would check in with. Like, hey, are you good? They'd be like, no, this is cool. That feels good.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I would be that dude like, man, what the hell she done brought me to this boat?
Oh, hell right yeah. Here. He definitely would have been that guy.
And I'd be like, oh, I thought I'm going to go up on stage.
No, you wouldn't. Don't you call us up here. Hey, just shut up. We ain't going on stage. You're going to be embarrassed after it. You're going to be like, why you say that?
I'd be right, too. I'd be right.
Yeah, you better blink slow before I slap you in the eyes. So yeah, the show was good. Yeah,
even with the 5-hour delay.
Yeah, we were five hours. Oh my God, I was so looking forward to what that sleep was about to be.
Y'all, we were so excited about this sleep that we was going to get. That was in Philly.
Yeah.
You were supposed to get in the day before the show. Like, not even late. It was going to be like late evening the day before.
No, we were getting in at midnight.
Okay, well, yeah, midnight. It wasn't like at 2 or anything. Getting in at midnight, we was going to get a chance. We were probably going to have some food somewhere, lay in that bed, wake up late, get ready for the show, get something to eat, get ready for the show. When I tell you we got to that dang hotel at 6 a.m.
Because, again, I just flew in the day before from teen conference, so I have had no sleep. I've been going off of 3 hours here, 3 hours there. So I said, I'm going to get my 8 hours so I can be refreshed. No, we literally got to Philly and lay down and had to wake up at I don't remember what time.
I think we laid down for like a couple of hours.
Yeah.
We were in a comatic state for the made up.
Oh, I know why I had to get up. I had to do, here's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, there's a reason why I didn't get the amount of sleep that I thought I would get. Not only did I have to do, here's the thing, I had to watch a documentary before I went to sleep for Here's the Thing.
Oh.
Because I didn't end up going. Yeah. We got to the hotel at 4. I didn't go to sleep until like 6:37. I also didn't have how we were getting to D.C. D.C. And I didn't have the hotel. I had to figure out the hotel. I had to call them and be like, hey, y'all going to let us in the morning?
Yeah, I know I was setting up for, so I, when I did lay down and get up, I could go ahead and start getting ready.
Uh-huh.
And I went to pull them that secondary curtain closed, and it was already daylight coming through that window. Mm-hmm. I was like, no.
No. I was over there working. Marcus is like, when you going to be done? Get you some headphones. I was like, I'm trying to make sure we got someplace to stay. But yeah, no, I'm glad we got to do it. I don't know when. We might do one more city. Nate Jackson is trying to get us up to Tacoma. We might do one more city.
Somebody said, y'all got Dallas, Houston, Kentucky, and Cleveland on the second tour.
He said, come on. I think we're going to do one more date. I'm going to hit up Nate Jackson. I don't know when we would do another tour. I would want, also like I said before, I would want to get this stronger now, not so much show wise. I feel like our show, as far as in front of the camera, is stronger, more entertaining. I want to get our number stronger so that
definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at the Women of Poor Minds. They are on their sold out Still Sipping tour. And when I say sold out, they are in these big theaters and they are selling them out because they have did their due diligence of their social media marketing, of their podcast, all these years, because they also took the same amount of time we took, which I think is good, about 2 to 3 years between tours. And so that when they get on tour, it's extremely lucrative. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense versus,
these
numbers.
That promoting the podcast.
That's what I mean. So that's what I mean by doing our due diligence to get this podcast stronger so that when we hit the road that we should have no problem selling out a 300-person venue. That we should not be struggling to do that. That should be easy peasy, especially if we have to bring a third person with us, because that's an additional...
Yeah.
That's an additional $1,000.
That worked out with him being in Kentucky versus flying from LA with us.
Yeah, that's even more expensive. Yeah. But yeah, unlike last time, that person's pay was within their salary.
Well, yeah, right.
Versus.
Well, mostly, yeah.
Yeah. So just things that I'm like, okay, we need to be steadfast that if a tour is something that we ever want to do again, if that's the way we want to bring our podcast to life is a tour, that we are stronger on this side before we go back out because we are less strong because we don't have Bree. We had content going out about our podcast every single week.
Yeah.
On social media. And they were going, a lot of them were going viral. That's why on Instagram, this podcast has 32,000 followers.
Yeah.
But we don't have any content going out on it right now. So, you know.
Yeah, that's on me. I do the editing. Time it go up, I'm just like, oh, God.
There's a site that I have. It's been on my to-do list to research this site for over 3 months. It's called Opus. And it will help us find a good clip.
Yeah. Yeah, going back through to find a clip that makes sense. It's hard going back through sometimes to find a damn thumbnail.
No, I get it. I get it. I do. That's why they don't give vlogs. I just have a hard time editing now. I don't know why it's my Achilles heel, but it is. We are grateful to everybody who came out to the tour, everybody who supported from afar that wasn't able to come out. We're going to have our tour shirts on sale. Our Is This Going to Cause an Argument shirts on sale by next week. We might do a birthday sale because my birthday is next week as well. Obviously, our Patreon will get a discount. So if you didn't get a shirt and you wanted to get a shirt, please feel free.
Your Patreon, y'all going to get them first, of course.
So that you can get your...
Yeah, Friday.
Get your merch. But yeah, a special thank you again to our sponsors, Cash App and Hiya. Please give them a look. See, Cash App, secure way to send money. Hiya, a good way to get that, get your babies what they need in they in they in form of vitamin. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, check out Man Shit as Marcus begins to expand its offerings. Give them a look-see. And as always, Mama Likes is over here just figuring itself out as well. We are so grateful to you all. Thank you all for listening. We hope you had a good time listening to us just definitely talk about what's happening in our lives. Until next time, good people.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Bye!